Okay, today we're going to talk about something that I don't want us to. We're going to talk about why faith, right? And one reason we're talking about, or I think a major reason we're talking about faith, is because one is without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And two, I think sometimes we take for granted that because we hear about faith, or we know people who talk about faith, we are automatically in faith. But you know, you don't get faith through osmosis. Mm-mm. It doesn't come just because grandma had it, that's good, or mom, or dad. But faith has to come to you on an individual, personal level, on an effort you have to make.
Yes.
And I think sometimes because we go to church and we, you know, people, I know Christians, I'm a Christian. I think in our minds sometimes we automatically assume that we're full of faith. And yet the Word has something different to say about that. Now when we have a measure of faith, you know, faith is something, well, let me say it this way. Grace is God's part and faith is our part, right? We have to actively believe and participate and grow our faith so that we can achieve and accomplish and do all that He called us to. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about that today. And one specific aspect that I think is really important. Let's go to the next slide. But we're going to look at faith speaks. And I know you might have seen this before or heard it before, but I want us to look at it again. Mark 11, 23 and 24. And Jesus is speaking. Now Jesus, he's speaking and he says, truly I tell you the truth. King James is verily, verily, right? But here he says, I'm telling you the truth. Now, if you just let that sink in for a moment, Jesus is telling me the truth. That's it. Like, this is how it is. Okay? So he's telling you the truth. He's telling me the truth. And here's what he says. He says, I say to you that whosoever, now he's talking about anyone.
Right.
Right? Amen. He uses the word whosoever.
Yes.
Whosoever says to the mountain, or in this case, in this version, the Wycliffe translation, says to this hill, be taken and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that whatever he says, believes for whatever thing he says, it shall be done for him. Now, verse 22, he's talking about having the faith of God. Here, verse 23, Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. That if you have this hill, King James says mountain, you have this problem in your way, all you need to do is tell the problem to go. But you got to believe this in your heart.
Amen.
Now, the reason I say this is because often we think, we automatically assume that we're already always in faith. If you love the Lord, you think, I'm in faith, I'm doing it. And yet, rarely do we actually say to this problem or this mountain in our life the end result of what we want. I'll give you an example. Say someone's like, they want to, okay, I'll give you a really good example. Say my daughter is graduating from high school. She did. And then I have to believe for money for college if I want to send her, right? So I don't know, because, you know, college is a little bit different than when I was a kid. You could actually work your way through it, save up your money and pay for it, right? Today it's a little bit different. So when I was last year, I would look at this, and I'm just looking at this verse, and I'm thinking, college? I'm talking to that mountain.
Right.
What college do you pay for?
Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Lord, that I'm receiving all the money in advance.
Amen.
Everything she needs, I call it in now.
Yes.
Now, Do I feel any different? No. Nothing looks any different. Nothing has really changed. But I'm saying something because I know that time is coming. That I believe, again, I'm building my faith in that area so that when the time comes, I've already said this, I've already been believing for over a year in advance.
Right.
So when the thought comes, like, you know, the school sends you a bunch of things, this is how much our school costs, come to our college, we want you, and all that kind of stuff. I never got those, by the way. My wife, she was a valedictorian. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I used to call it valedictorian. She said, no, it's valedictorian. I said, okay, whatever. And then she said, what was your grade point average? Because hers was really high. I said, mine was a pretty solid, like 2.78. Solid. She's like, 2.78. It took a while to realize that was like almost less. It was like a C+. Nothing wrong with a C+. That's why I didn't get a lot of letters in the mail recruiting me. But in this case, I'm believing God in advance.
Yes.
So when those thoughts would come, what you gonna do? I would keep speaking the same thing I already spoke to that mountain or that hill. I thank you, Lord, that it's paid for.
Amen.
Because I believe I received that paid for.
Yes, yes.
Because there'll be pressures that come, right? And when you're looking at Jesus or God kind of faith, he told you this is how everything works.
Yeah.
So if you have a need, you don't want to talk about how big the need is.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
You're not talking to the mountain to be taken away. You're talking to the mountain to become bigger. Mm. If I had a project or something I'm believing for, you know, people often say, well, long story short, so when she went into one college and she wanted to go to a different college, I said, no, my faith isn't there on that one. My faith is set for this other college over here. I don't want you going to no godless college. I just told her, I don't want you going to no godless college. And then, but the Lord provided to where she gets to go, the need has been met, right?
Right.
Now she has her part that she has to maintain. Her grades and things like that. But as far as the school's part, that's taken care of. So
praise
I don't
God.
Feel, and I'm not really any more excited than when I believed, when I prayed.
That's right.
I didn't like go, yeah, I didn't scream or anything. Because when it happened is when I was believing when I spoke to the mountain the year ago. Mm. Or if I anticipate something coming up in the future, I start believing God for it, what, in advance?
Yeah.
Right now. And I don't change what I'm believing just because the situation or the circumstance changes. Amen?
Amen.
So I say that because Jesus said, if you believe in your heart, he said, therefore, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing that you shall take, this is Wycliffe, and they shall come to you. Now, this is really interesting because if you and I would recognize our words are really something that takes something in the spirit realm, we would probably be more careful or diligent looking over what we say.
That's good.
Like, I hear a lot of people, you know, who just in general, they say, well, you know, it's flu season. I always catch the flu during this time of year. Well, you may not recognize, but is that what you really want? Or is that, do you really want to catch the flu? Or are you just speaking by experience from past years? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to purposely, intentionally say, okay, I'm not catching the flu. I thank God for healing, even when I don't feel healed. Because I'm not asking, it's not what, I don't want to be sick, I want to be well, right? And notice here, this is really important. It says, there is a relationship, if you look through Mark 11, he talks a lot more about saying something than just believing it. It's not just what you believe. What you say is what you believe. So over a long period of time, our saying is a reflection of our believing.
Right.
And our believing is a reflection of our saying.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes hand in hand, right? So look, he says, I say to you, whoever says to this hill, be taken and be cast into the sea, do not doubt in your heart. Now that's not in your head. See, your head will give you problems.
Yeah.
Your head is your reasoning, your will, your emotions.
Yeah.
But here he's talking about your heart.
Right.
And in your heart, you have to believe God's made a way.
Right.
I can't be so concerned about everybody else. I don't know about everybody else. But right. For me, I know he's made a way. So in this case, he said, whatever things that you say, whatsoever things he says, what he saith, shall be done. It shall be done to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things, whatsoever things you ask, praying, you ask, believe that you shall take it, and they shall come to you.
Wow.
So these things that you're praying, it says they shall come to you.
Wow.
Not that you just have it then, but it's coming to you. It's not there yet, but it's what? On the way. So if you or I or whatever, we have a bill, or there's a debt, or some expense, you don't walk around going, I just don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. And you get on the phone and what? You tell people, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And then you pray, Lord, show me what to do because I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you wonder why you don't know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a sneaky way, the devil's tricking you or me into saying what we have, not what we want.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He gets you to look at the mountain and talk about how the mountain is so big. And the reason I want to talk about this is because it's dawning on me that really a lot of problems we have is our own problem. Mm-hmm. If we can straighten out our words and our believing, it'll straighten out the situations and circumstances in our life.
Right, right.
Amen?
That's right.
So, when he said you have a problem, you speak to the problem. Speak the end result, not where you are. And that you shall take it. That means you don't have it yet, but you shall have it. But you just got to stay believing until you take it. Because then once you take it, you don't need to believe anymore because you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, have you ever noticed the relationship between believing and saying? And the Bible places as much emphasis on our saying as it does just our believing.
Right.
So what you say is much more important than what you believe. And we're going to cover why. Now, I don't want you to be word police in other people's life. Hey, you're so grumpy. Don't call me grumpy. I'm free from grumpy. You know, I don't have to do that. Right? But just be sensitive to the Lord working in your heart.
That's right.
When you're saying something, like I was saying something one time, and I was thinking, somebody asked me about it, and I said something again. And then it dawned on me, like, maybe this is going this direction, which is not the direction I want, because I keep saying it's going that direction. Man, you know, what was I doing? I was saying the wrong thing. I was saying what I had, but not what I wanted. I was saying the opposite of what I wanted because I was saying what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to say what you see because what you see changes.
That's right.
You
want to
see what his word has said.
Yes.
About you. That's what you want to say.
Amen.
Is what you see in the word. Don't say
right.
What you see in the circumstances.
Right.
Amen. So when there is a bill or there is a need or something that comes up, I'll give you another example. My younger daughter, she needed braces. And we're believing God. We ain't paying for no braces. That's like a small, nice car. You know what I mean? That one I see with mine. That's like, honey, you just stay single. Don't worry about fixing your teeth. You'll get older.
Oh, no,
Somebody loves you for more than just your teeth. Right? But there are some other things that, you know, there's like, well, she's got to get this fixed. And I'm like, okay. okay, so I had to get in faith, right? Because this was an unexpected need. So I had to start believing in the Lord. Lord, I'm going to call this paid for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to pay for it, really. But I'm going to call it paid for.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. I'm going to start thanking you.
Yes.
Being excited about it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they go, this is how much it's going to cost. You go, okay. Because I felt like, okay, we should get it done. Amen? I don't want, you know, we should get it done. I can believe God for the money. Why? Because I have words. My words can take what I need in the spirit realm and bring it into this realm.
Come on. Yes, yes.
My words.
Yes,
my words.
Yes.
So if I have my words, then that can direct and guide me where I need to go.
That's right. It
doesn't matter where I am.
That's right.
Because you actually, you know, good news, bad news, situation. Bad news is your words led you to where you are. And if you don't like it, the good news is it can get you where you want to be.
Yes, amen.
It's all my fault. Yeah,
yes.
It's your fault. But the good news is it's your fault. Because
mm-hmm.
you can get you from where you are to where you need to be. Right. All right.
Amen.
Next slide, please. See, I think, right, I believe, really, when we talk about faith, is genuine Bible faith is it will talk to the problem, not just about the problem. And you look at David and Goliath as a great example. You have the whole children of Israel, they have a covenant with God, right? And they're all talking about how big and how bad Goliath is. And then David comes on the scene, and he talked about how big God was. Not how big Goliath was. They just, in their minds, Goliath became bigger. But mm-hmm. in David's eyes, God was so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and David talked that way to his problem.
Mm.
Right? Mm. I've seen a movie one time where, you know, David went out to fight Goliath and he's stumbling around, he's trying to find a stone, and he's nervous and he's scared. And the Bible says that David ran toward Goliath.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get rid of you really quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut your head off. He's telling him all this.
Yeah.
I'm going to, the birds are going to come. They're going to eat you. And then David, you know, think about it. He carries the head back to Saul. I mean, like, what is going on here? Just cut this head off. Let the blood drain out. I'll show Saul. I get the money, I get the girl, I get everything. Right? But how did he get there? Was with his what? His words.
Yes.
So if I said, what about our words?
Yeah.
It's the words that we choose.
Yeah.
Right? So going on. Go to the next slide. About faith. Faith believes in the heart that what is being said will come to pass.
Mm.
And then Bible faith is not moved by what it sees or by what it feels.
Mm.
You know, when you really look at Bible faith, like when, just look at Genesis 1. God, the whole place was dark and void and empty. And God said, light be, or light come forth. When you have a world that looks dark, void, chaotic, and empty in your world, it's not the time to go, man, this is so dark and so empty and so chaotic and so confusing. No, don't say that. You should say, light be.
Yeah.
Lord, provide me direction. I receive that direction. I receive the monies I need.
Yeah.
I'm finding everything He has for me.
Yeah.
You know, this even applies to habits. Somebody has a bad habit, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a habit that you don't like. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Instead of saying how hard and difficult it is for you to overcome it, what should you say? Thank you, Lord. I'm free. You're showing me what to do.
Yeah.
I receive everything I need.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's biting your nails, like my youngest daughter, don't tell her I told you. But she would always bite her nails. Like, could you quit biting your nails? Okay. And then finally, we had to get to the place to where, honey, listen, we're going to get this spiritually So start thanking the Lord that we're free from biting our nails.
Yeah.
But even in the middle, when you're biting your nails,
yeah.
How are you going to get free? You thank Him that you're already free.
Yes, yes.
Because faith calls things that be not
that's right.
as though they are.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yes.
So now, she's, like, I haven't even seen her bite her nails.
Hallelujah. It's just like,
they're actually growing. Proof. There's white on there. It's like, we're going to have to cut them now. Mm. You understand? It this is how it works. This is how you get free. This is, and the more you, it's not just saying something. It's not that, okay, throw any scripture. I can do all things through Christ. There. That's not like that. It's thinking on His word, meditating on His word, believing it in your heart that gets you there. Please, next slide, please. This is where we begin. And this is the biblical pattern. Look at Romans 4:17 says this. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who believed, even God, who quickens the dead, makes alive the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Mm-hmm. He calls things which be not mm-hmm. as though they are. Now this is really important. It says, it does not say he calls things that be not as though they are. For example, if I owed somebody $10 and I could say, I recognize I owe you that $10, but thank God I'm believing. You know, between you and Lord, thank you that I'm paying him that $10. I call that debt paid, even though it's not paid yet, but I'm believing you bring it in the money. That's different than saying, oh, I don't owe you $10. The Bible says I call things that be not. I call things that be not as though they are. That's not true. That's lying. You can't say something, you shouldn't be saying something that is and saying it's not. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be lovely if somebody called you, hey, you owe me $100. No. I'm using my faith. I'm saying I don't owe you that. That's what the Bible said. Calling things that be, not as though they are. Wrong. You got the comma in the wrong place. It's calling things that be not as though they are.
Yeah.
And so if that was the case, what I would do is say, right, I recognize that. I'll get you paid. I'm going to pay you. Now, you're not having to watch your confession so much when you're talking between like a bill collector or someone you owe. But you get before the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that that's already paid, right? What about speaking to your body? You see, Abraham was about 100 years old. He was 75 when God gave him a promise. For 24 years, nothing happened with him and Sarah until he changed his name, until he became father of many nations. That's what Abraham means. So every time he heard father of many nations, what happened? Faith came.
Yeah, right.
And he started to believe something in his heart. And as a result, it took less than a year for him to have Isaac.
Mm.
Because faith came.
That's good.
Right? Because he's calling things that be not as though they are. So when you look at your life, you know, sometimes we say, oh, it's just so hard to do that. That makes it harder.
Yeah.
Why not say, I can do all things through Christ?
Amen.
Or he will perfect that which concerns me. Mm. The Lord is perfecting me.
Yeah.
Right? Or in some habit that you don't like in your life, you can start saying, I'm dead to that.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
And your body says, no, you're not. You like it. More chocolate. Come on. You like it. You say, no, I'm dead. Now, even if you eat the chocolate cake, yeah. Triple chocolate. You know, like the ones they sell at some stores, they put the flake, it's really good, right? But how do I get free from that? I get free by telling my body, no, you're dead to that. Because you're alive in Christ. You understand? This is, what about my organs don't work or this is wrong with me? I understand that's what the report says. But what did Abraham do? What did God do? He called things that be not as though they are. So he would speak to his body or his liver. Liver? What would you say? Live. That's part of your name. Liver, live. Kidneys, work. Organs, be clean and clear.
Yes.
This is what, you don't need to know what's wrong. You already know that. So you should get on the phone and tell everybody.
Yeah.
Don't post it on Facebook.
No, no.
Whatever you do, don't put it on there.
No.
You understand? You're going to get no help there. You got to go to the faith book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And keep saying what you want.
That's
not
right.
What you have.
That's right.
Speak to your body. Abraham did the same thing.
Right.
And it says that because he obtained faith, he pleased God. Why? Because he was in faith. He pleased God. This is how God operates. If you need to pay something, thank God for all the money coming in. Amen. If you have a habit where you go, I just buy too much of this, thank God. No, I can control myself because the greater one's in me. This is like, next slide, please. This is like, two slides up. Go two slides up.
It's frozen.
It's frozen? Okay. Possible hindrances. Let me tell you this. What are some things that you need to talk to in your life? So I want you to think about that. What is it that you believe in God for, or that there's something you'd like to see? Well, then you need to start talking to that thing. When the Bible says talking to it, it's taking it.
Yeah, that's
so you're
good.
Taking it in.
Yeah.
You're taking it.
Yeah.
No more, you know, I know sometimes like people say, oh, it's just so hard, or I'm not very smart at this. So we change our confessions.
Yeah.
We say we're bright and we're quick and we're smart and we're sharp.
Yeah.
And we're very beautiful.
Yep.
People kind of laugh at that. I'd say that. I'm handsome. I'll be honest. First time, I felt a little funny. I felt a little funny when I'm walking around handsome. Come on. It just made me laugh inside. But then I got to say it some more. Now, I don't say I love my long, beautiful hair. I don't have that one. Right? But I can say I'm handsome. And then I'm a major blessing.
Yes. Yes.
But what if I wasn't? Well, I want to be.
Yes.
Right? So I got to start somewhere.
Amen.
So these are the things. So like my kids come home or my wife has a question or I have the wisdom of God.
Yes.
I have the mind of Christ.
That's
Let's
right.
think this through. Let's pray this through. What would Jesus do? Because I have his mind. I have his wisdom.
Yeah.
These are the things we should be believing for.
Yeah.
In our life to solve problems, to overcome obstacles and mountains and things that are set against us. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus said it would happen. If you believe it in your heart, it will happen. Now, this I thought was interesting because Romans 10, you can just write it down. Verse 7 to 10. You're right, and the other one, Vince, possibly the words connect faith to the heart. This was interesting because I was trying to identify when Jesus said, whatsoever things you say, believe in your heart and it will happen to you. Right? It will happen for you. And Romans chapter 10, verse 7 says this, who will descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? What does it say? The word of faith, the word of God is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So if you would confess it with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Right.
Now look at verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Or sozo. That word sozo, salvation, is threefold. It's the whole human being. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Right? So words connect to your heart to produce the thing that you need or want in life. It's your words. Your words are connectors to the heart. It connects your faith to the heart and causes the thing to grow in your life. But here's the problem. One problem. What I've noticed is sometimes we think we put all the responsibility on God, but really so much of it comes back, it's all on us. If I was driving a car and I ran my car into the wall, a wall or some building, I could say, well, the car ran into the wall. Well, that's technically true. It was the car, but I was the one controlling the car. And if they said, well, what happened? I said, well, I don't know. Well, did you steer the car? Well, I just let the car go wherever I want. Be like, well, didn't you have your hands on the wheel? No, I was texting. I was doing other things.
Yeah.
They said, well, it's your fault because you didn't have your hands, what, on the wheel.
Right.
Just like I was thinking of, remember the movie Titanic? They steered the Titanic into an iceberg. The ship itself, I'm sure, didn't want to go into the iceberg. See, probably crying all that metal and steel and, no, no, please don't do this to us. But the ship itself thinks this must be where they want to go because this is where the rudder is sending the ship.
Right.
Similarly, the steering wheel of a car is controlled by people, right?
Yeah.
The car itself may not want to go into the wall, over the cliff, or into another car. But it has no choice because it's the steering wheel that directs where the car goes.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you want the car, and you know, when we're driving, we're always making little adjustments, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a misaligned car, you're making adjustments. I had some of those. You know, with the alignments off, you're turning the wheel real big both ways. Yeah, I got pulled over one time, like, sir, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Why? Well, you're all over the road. Well, it just needs a little alignment. That's all. I'm trying to steer it. It just keeps veering off on its own. I got to kind of get that fixed. Oh. So, well, the car is operational, functional. It's past inspection. Trust me. It's just a little bit of an alignment issue. Okay. So what about us? The Bible talks about our words is what steers our lives. In James 3, right?
Yeah.
Our words is what directs our course in life. So if we don't like where we are or where we're going, we need to get a hold of that steering wheel, our tongue,
yeah,
our words.
Right.
And this is much easier said than done, right? You know how many times people use the word, I'm afraid? I'm afraid to go. I'm afraid so. I'm just afraid, you know. Oh, it scared me to death. All these words of fear and afraid.
Yeah.
And what if, compared to, you know, I wasn't, like I said, I had a two solid. It was a solid 2.78 GPA in high school. Solid. Pretty firm. I just got caught up in the smart crowd and it took my, you know what I mean? I got caught up in the smart crowd. I was taking all the classes beyond where I was. Trying to be like my friends. You know, I didn't do so well. That's why my GPA went down. But and I did take cooking, but I thought that was a practical class. And my wife teases me, I took home ec. I'm like, everybody should take home ec. You should learn how to cook their own food. So, but here's the point. The point I'm making is, steering our lives with our words. We got to identify and realize my words are impacting the direction and course of my life. It doesn't look like it, just like when somebody gets in a car accident, you don't go, what was wrong with the steering wheel? You might say, what happened to the car or the driver? But you don't really identify whether the steering wheel locked up. You know, that would cause an accident or something of that nature. But your words are so small, but they are what is responsible for directing your life. Mm. So if you need a change, you have to change your words. If you want to continue, you continue saying the same thing. You keep doing the same thing. And so whatever problem there is, or whatever mountain, Jesus said, the mountain is not the problem. It's your believing, right? And your words are the connector from your faith, what connects your faith to your heart. So if I can get a hold of my words and I can start saying what God says, then I can change the whole direction of my life. I can impact, you know, we can, it's not done necessarily overnight, but you start to make progress. And you start to realize, do I really want to take that thing with my words?
Mm.
Right? Do I really want to take this with my words? Because that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Our words are like a receipt for, you know, remember back in the day, UPS, whoever comes to your door, they deliver a package, you have to sign for it. Well, what if the devil came to your door and said, hey, sign for this? What? Well, I didn't sign for that. Oh, but you've been saying.
Yeah.
You've been saying, you know, you'll never hit this age and you'll die early and, you know, just like mama or dad or whatever. Uh-huh. You've been saying it.
Uh-uh.
You think, when I get old, I'll probably lose my mind.
No.
Now, what happens? What happens is your mind doesn't want to be lost.
No.
But your words are directing you in a certain direction, and that's why hell is not after necessarily your mind. It's after your words.
Yeah.
Because it's the steering wheel of your life.
Yeah.
That's why we can say we are always going to overcome. We'll always make it through. The Lord always provides.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
I don't have to be afraid.
No.
That's what Psalm says. I will not fear.
I will.
Now, what if your knees are shaking?
I will not
fear. And you got tears running down your face.
I will not fear.
That's just your emotions.
Yeah.
That is not your heart.
That's right.
Because in your heart, you say, I believe. And the devil says, you don't look like you believe. Are you sure you believe? Well, I thought I did. Yeah, but you don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, what do I believe? Well, you don't. You just believe you're going to go under. Oh, I didn't want to go under. I know. It's just you can't do anything about it. Because look at you. Look how you're feeling.
Under my feet, yeah.
So you got to realize, wait, what do I believe? What I believe has nothing to do with what I feel or what I see.
Yes, yes.
Or what comes and goes. Nothing.
Mm.
When you realize that, you think, oh, so you mean the enemy's been lying? Yeah, he's been lying to you.
Yeah.
He's been lying to me, but we can change it. Right? You get a hold of your words, you can change it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, in conclusion. Mm. Oh, amen.
Praise
God. Uh-huh.
Good stuff.
Conclusion, without faith, we cannot please God.
Yeah.
We can't. Because He's a faith God.
He is a faith God.
And if we recognize, words connect faith to the heart.
Mm.
So if you're having a problem believing something that's in the Word of God, you know what it is? It's you having a problem because you haven't been saying what His Word says. Because the more you say what He says, the more faith comes by hearing, the more faith grows in your heart, the more convinced you are. You know, again, we use the example, if I were to say, are you saved? And you go, yes. How do you know? Because the Bible said so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? Jesus loves a little children. You know all that? Okay. And you got scripture, you believe it. And then everybody said, are you healed? You go, well, I hope so. Someday. Praise God. Glory in heaven. Why? Because I feel this pain. I got this. But the same Bible that said Jesus took your sins would also say what? Jesus took your sickness or your disease or your infirmity. But why can you believe first half, but not the second half?
Wow.
It's because you've heard first half so much. In that area, your faith muscles are really strong. But the second half, which says you're bright, you're a major blessing, you're healed, you're good looking, that you haven't heard too much. So mm-hmm. it's harder to believe that, even though it's just as true.
That's right.
Than it is the first half.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
So that's why we have to keep connecting God's word to your heart by speaking it.
Mm-hmm.
Faith speaks the desired end result. Speak what you want, not what you see.
Yeah.
Not what you have.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Speak to the problem. Don't talk about the problem.
Right.
You know, if you have, you're building something, you have a project, thank God. Say every need was met.
Every
you call
need.
The whole thing paid for
yes,
in
yes.
advance.
Yes.
Right? Talk, if you have a mortgage, talk to your mortgage.
Yeah.
So why would I do that? So you can get it paid off.
That's right.
Start talking to it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Yes.
Faith is not moved by what it sees or feels, and our speaking reflects our believing. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean this is what we want, but this is just where we are. And what I mean by that is, if I want to plant, like my wife wanted to plant some kind of tomatoes. Maybe I don't want tomatoes, but she wants tomatoes. So she takes that tomato plant or seed and she sticks it in the ground, right? The ground may not like tomatoes. It might want cucumbers, the soil, the dirt. Mm-hmm. But it has no choice to produce whatever seed is put in there. Even if I don't want it, even if she don't like tomatoes, but she's planting tomatoes, she's going to get what? Tomatoes.
Right.
Well, our heart doesn't necessarily want to plant things that are going to hurt and harm us or to grow those, but it's going to produce whatever is planted in our heart.
That's right.
It has no choice. That's what it's designed to do.
That's right.
And the reason it was designed to do that is because the Lord expects you and I to watch over what goes into the field of our heart. Yes. Amen?
Right.
So if we watch over that, we can guarantee what kind of crop we'll have because we're watching over what's going in.
Amen.
And then that heart produces whatever is put in there. It's just, it has to. It has no choice. So if we have all these other things going on in our life, strife, confusion, whatever, we say, whoa, something grew up in here while I was sleeping, or I said something, I allowed something in. I got to get rid of that.
Yeah. Amen?
And just because you and I made some mistakes don't mean we can't have a crop failure. Lord, I'm claiming a crop failure over that thing over there. All that unbelief and doubt, that's dying. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But you just got to be diligent about it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So, that's it. Don't leave here, but thank God that's over. You know what? I want you to think about His Word.
Yeah.
Right? Think about it. And husbands and wives, you can encourage each other.
Right.
To say good things.
Yeah.
To believe the best.
Right.
You know? And someone says, what are we going to do? We're going to believe God. God's going to meet this need. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hey, and the braces need, that got met.
That did get met. Yes, paid in full.
My wife told me I had to believe for that one on my own. So they don't bother me about anything else right now. My faith muscles are only so big. I got to work on it. But the Lord did it.
He did.
And I was just as happy when it came in as I was before it came in. When you're speaking to it, you're not concerned. Amen?
Yes.
You don't get more joy when you see it happen.
It's
when you believe, when you pray, that you take it.
Yes. Yes.
I took it with my words, and it's coming. That's how you get it.
Hallelujah.
Amen? And that's how you get rid of the bad stuff. Say, I'm resisting that. I'm not going to receive that. I resist that, and I receive the word.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness and for
your
mercy and for your word. Your ever-living, ever, forever eternal word. But as we put your word in our heart, and we speak it by faith, you said that whatsoever things we desire, when we pray, we shall have them. But we thank you for that godly principle, just like Abraham, and just like he modeled you, we also model you. When you said light be, Lord, when there was darkness and there was void and there was nothing there to be glad or cheerful about, you spoke life into existence. You spoke light into our existence. And in our lives, when we're looking at some areas or relationship or something that's dead and dark, we can speak life into that relationship or into our finances, into our bodies, into whatever situation or circumstance. So we can speak to the mountain, the end result, and we will have and see what we have spoken. And we just thank you for that. We give you the praise, Lord, and we ask you to remind us by your Holy Spirit, when we're speaking the wrong thing, put a guard over our mouth,
yes,
Lord, so that we can speak good, wholesome, true things, words of faith that are pleasing to you. Because you said, when you return, shall you find faith?
Mm.
Lord, we want you to let you will find faith in us.
Yes.
Because we'll hold to your word. We'll speak your word with joy and expectation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I also thought, one way you can tell whether you have joy about something or you're in faith, is your joy. If you believed, if you believed you got the answer, You won't be sad.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you won't. Yeah. You'll be like, oh, you want to think about it. It's sad because it hasn't changed. You wouldn't be like that. You'd be what? Hey, it's okay because I got the answer.
Yeah.
God's going to meet it.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to do it.
Yes.
When you get like that, your joy is high. You know you're in faith because you got joy. And then you got strength that'll carry you through till you see the thing happen.
Yes.
Amen. But when you get sad, and the devil's trying to make you depressed and bring you down, well, then your joy is, your faith is under attack. Or your faith might be weak. That's why you got to go back in and get more faith by hearing his word, speaking his word, saying what he says. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and get ready to take up the offering. And if you need an envelope, just raise your hand. If you know, one thing I think is great about offering is that the Lord. It's great because it's a reflection. We get to demonstrate how much we love Him. We give to Him because we love Him, but at the same time, He keeps good records. Amen? And when you give, you're not missing anything. You're not lacking anything. This, what you give, goes with you as a record there and then toward heaven. Amen? You know, I like going to estate sale sometimes, you know, just see what happens. And it's amazing how they always leave everything behind. They leave all of it. And it seems like most people have the same stuff. And then when you think of investing in heaven, you don't leave anything behind. You're invested not only in this life, but in the life to come.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know? And so what I am thrilled about, I know there was somebody who got a good praise report. And I told them, I said, this is not hard before it happened. This is what you need to do. This is because this is what the Word says. And they didn't know any better than just to believe what the Bible said. They said, okay. Believed it. Then they texted my wife, right? Saturday, said, guess what happened? Bum, 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 bum. God did this and this and this and this and this. And it was a miracle. Da, da, da. It's like, I know. That's just who He is.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes we just believe Him because He said so. That's it. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Let's go ahead and give. And I'll say a general prayer. You can say a specific prayer for what you believe in the Lord for. Father, we thank You for the privilege and opportunity to give. And we give today with a happy, cheerful, glad heart, knowing that whatever we sow, we shall also reap. Lord, that not just in giving, in the action, but also in our words, that we can worship You and thank You, Lord, that we are a part of something much bigger, much larger than of ourselves. But we're part of Your kingdom, and we're working together with You to reach a lost and dying world. And we just give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Be blessed as you give.